Good morning. It is 8:16 and my name is Brooke Schaefer. I'm in the studio this morning with two guests, Jacqueline Gill and Rachel Klein. Thank you both for coming in this morning. And I'm going to turn right to you, Jacqueline, who just arrived back in the United States from Kuwait. And well, let me first introduce Jacqueline as an assistant professor of paleoecology at the University of Maine. And she is here to be the keynote speaker at the Whale Fest's Feeding Grounds Banquet, which will be this Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. But before we talk more about Whale Fest and that event, I'd like to talk about Kuwait. What were you doing in Kuwait, Jacqueline?
I was at a Women in Science conference that was for women from Gulf Coast countries. And the theme of the conference was Science Empowers Women. So the idea is that pathways to the science careers are a great way to empower women in the Middle East.
Wow, amazing. And you're not from a Gulf Coast country, but you're from a state on the coast.
Yes.
And is that how you got invited to that?
So they had invited a number of women speakers to be basically inspirational speakers to talk on a range of different disciplines. So I actually gave a talk on imposter syndrome, which is this idea that high-achieving people, often women, but not necessarily, often feel like they can't internalize their accomplishments, or they might feel like they don't belong, or that they're an imposter in their job, and someone will sort of find out that they don't belong there. And it's just a way that we kind of undermine ourselves, and it's a barrier to the success of women in science or other careers.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. And that also means that here at Whale Fest, we have an international speaker. Well, that's very exciting. We're lucky to have you here. I want to back up and kind of find out how you became to be someone who was invited to Kuwait to give a speech, how you got involved with paleoecology. Eventually, we need to talk about what that is. But first of all, how has this become your career?
That's a really good question, because for a long time, probably too long, I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. I love so many things. I almost went into theater. I, you know, wanted to be a photojournalist for a while. I was interested in writing and anthropology. And but I've always had this undercurrent of a deep interest and a love for the natural world. I grew up as a Navy brat, and so I got to see many different parts of the world. I spent some time in Italy and moved around quite a lot in the U.S. even, where we have such a diversity of landscapes. And I was always really interested in nature. Of course, growing up as a child of the 90s, really understanding the growing environmental crisis, I really felt this calling, like so many people did, to really protect our environment. And I didn't really have a good sense of how to go about doing that. At first, I thought I wanted to tackle it from the human angle. You know, why do people pollute? Why do we have this relationship with nature that's, you know, destructive in many cases? And I, the deeper I got into that relationship, it just brought me further and further back in time. I kept looking for this period in history where we had this sort of perfect balance with nature. And then the further back in time I got in my studies, you know, thinking about things like anthropology, archaeology, the more I realized I was just really interested in nature and the natural landscapes and the ways in which nature has changed through time. And so that, of course, led me to the Ice Age as sort of the last big, great changes that we've experienced on the landscape. And I was instantly hooked because there's so many really amazing things that were going on here, you know, 20,000 years ago at the end of the last Ice Age. Here, actually, in Alaska especially, we have, you know, the arrival of the first humans in the continent. We have these big changes in our climate, these massive ice sheets that are a couple miles thick that are melting away from the landscape and revealing all these new ecosystems. We have these giant animals like mammoths and mastodons, you know, trudging around, and then they disappear, and there's a big mystery there and a puzzle. And so I just really got hooked by those puzzles and those mysteries and realized that we have this wonderful record from the past that is not just really cool in its own right, it's also really, really useful in terms of understanding our own ecosystems today.
Wow. Okay. So as a paleoecologist currently, I mean, it sounds like you go to conferences and you're here at Whale Fest and you give speeches, but what, I'm curious how that's part of your job, but what else is part of your job? What do you do as a paleoecologist?
So what one thing I love about my job is it encompasses so many different things. I'm a teacher, so I teach college classes in biology and climate change. I am a mentor and an advisor. I have a lab in Maine with graduate students and undergrads that work in my lab, and so I get to mentor and train them and help them figure out what they want to do when they grow up. I also get to do research, and my research brings me all over the world. I have projects at the La Brea Tar Pits in LA. I work in the Falkland Islands off the southern coast of South America. So I get to go to these amazing landscapes and do research and solve these ecological puzzles. And then, of course, a large part of that work is also outreach. So I am a publicly funded scientist. So taxpayer dollars help fund my research. I work at the University of Maine, which is a public research institution. And so I really take my mandate to give back to the public very seriously. It's my science career was a pathway to the middle class for me. And so I want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to learn about these amazing discoveries that scientists are making, and also to be inspired to follow those science careers if that's where their heart leads them. And so I do a lot of outreach, talking at places like WhaleFest. I also have a podcast. I'm on Twitter. And so I take that side of my job very seriously.
So since you brought up that podcast, I'm curious about it. It's called Warm Regards. What can you tell us about that podcast? Can we tune into it? When does it happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So we drop episodes roughly every 2 weeks. So I co-host with two journalists, actually, Andy Revkin, who was at the New York Times and is now with ProPublica, and Eric Holthaus, who's actually a meteorologist who went into science journalism, and he's now at Grist. And this podcast really came out of some conversations that we were having about how difficult it is to talk about climate change. It's become so politicized that many people don't even want to have those conversations. And so, you know, meanwhile, we have these sort of close encounters with climate change in our own lives. We have, you know, debates with our family members or our neighbors. And we just wanted to have a place where we could have those really difficult conversations and in a way that would be useful for others, right? And so, you know, we talked to someone about the science of climate communication, right? So what are effective strategies for talking about climate change? We've talked about food and food production. We've talked about how the science of climate change is actually done. But we also have really difficult conversations about, you know, whether or not to have kids in a warming world, or what it's like to have a family member who doesn't believe in what you do. And we just try to really humanize the science of climate change and the scientists, and also to tell stories from people who are really literally on the front lines of climate change.
I see that your varied interests are still with you, that you are still interested in many things like the human experience. It's not just about science and an age long gone.
Yeah, definitely. I've done a really bad job of specializing. And so, you know, If any of your listeners are having a really hard time deciding, you know, which path to follow, I advocate for trying to forge your own path with as many connections to all of your interests as you can. Because for me, that's helping me live a full life.
That's great. And that brings us to WhaleFest, which actually will have a lot of students and people from the community can come. So if there are listeners out there who are struggling with what their passion is or what they might want to do in life, it sounds like coming and talking to Jacqueline might be a great thing that they could do, which they will be able to do. They'll be able to hear you, Jacqueline, on Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. You'll be the keynote speaker at the Feeding Grounds Banquet. But I imagine you're going to be here all weekend. Maybe that's not true.
No, I am. I'm really excited to be an attendee of WhaleFest and to see amazing talks by scientists, to see some amazing art, check out the market. I'm just excited to be here. It's also my first time to Alaska ever. So.
Well, welcome. Yeah. Yeah, and we're supposed to have sun tomorrow, so I think that you're in for a treat. Sun is kind of a rare thing in Sitka.
Nice. Well, thanks for doing that for me. That was really sweet.
we tried. I think that was Rachel.
That was totally
Thank you, Rachel. Let's before we have to part, which we do need to switch back over here shortly, I want to bring in Rachel to talk a little bit about WhaleFest. So what's going on beyond the banquet on Saturday?
Well, the symposium starts today. We have the opening remarks and the greeting at 12:45, and then the first lecture begins at 1 o'clock. And then we have three lectures today. The symposium will continue tomorrow and Sunday as well. And we have the grind tonight at 7:30 at Centennial Hall. And then, of course, we have the mingle, which is the cocktail hour before the banquet tomorrow. And then Jacqueline will be giving her speech. The banquet's going to be catered by Our Town Catering. So we have a really great menu. We're excited for that. And then, we have the wildlife cruises, which tomorrow's cruise is selling out very quickly. I think we only have a few tickets left because probably that sun that we're going to be getting.
Yes.
And then we still do have some tickets left for Sunday's cruise as well, which should also be another nice day, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to get involved with Whale Fest, how can they do that? What should they do?
So we have our registration desk that is set up at Centennial Hall. It will open today at 10 a.m. And so people can go to the registration desk to get tickets or ask questions, what have you. The market also opens then, the market and cafe at 10 a.m. And so the hours for the market, the cafe, and the registration desk are going to be all weekend from 10 to 4:30.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you, Rachel, for filling us in on this full weekend
of very
Whale
full.
Fest. Yes. And thank you, excuse me, Jacqueline, for coming in and giving us a taste of what we might hear about on Saturday from your speech at the banquet.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to KCAW here in Sitka. Good morning.